clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Let's go to Genesis chapter number 1. Thank you, gentlemen. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to direct our attention, if you'll follow along with me, at verse number 26. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, if you look at chapter 2, and we're just going to read one verse number 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to just share some very simple truths. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us in this day and age to turn our back upon the lies of the devil and to embrace the truths of your word. The longer we live, it seems like the bigger the gap is between the two. Society tells us to believe something. The Bible tells us to believe the opposite. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would just get back to just opening the old black book and reading what the words of God says, and just by faith believing the Bible, turning our back on the lies and heresy of this age. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, gentlemen on the front row, by the way, these guys are my buddies. I appreciate them sitting up here on the front, and I mean that. A lot of churches, what they young people want to do is go back and sneak back as far as they can get, but these guys do a good job. They come up here, they sit on the front row. But I need you to listen to me, okay? So sit up straight and tall, no more talking. And don't talk during the special singing. Boy, listen up here and get your hearts blessed. That gets you ready for the service. That's okay. They're learning. I think some of you guys out here, adults that are doing pretty good now, probably at that age, you probably did some of that same stuff too. And you probably had a mean old guy like me get on you from time to time, and it didn't hurt you a bit, did it? You know, so let's set up and be men and listen very carefully. Focus up here on me and listen to the preaching of God's word. I'm disturbed. I don't know why I keep spending money to buy a paper that's going to do nothing but depress me. I really don't understand that, you know. Why in the world would I reach in my pocket, take out two quarters, and buy a big, thick newspaper when all it's going to have in it is bad news? But I keep paying for punishment. I'm not sure why I do that, but I do. The newspaper, the evening news. There's a problem in society, folks. There's a foundational problem in society. I read the stories and I shake my head. I really do. What in the world is happening to America, and what in the world is happening to the human race? If it is astounding to me what I read in the paper, I can only imagine, Brother Townsley, from your perspective and your years and the America that you knew as a young man to the America you see now, Pastor Ross, I can only imagine some of the older men in this church what you must think at times and how hopeless this situation must appear. Folks, we are going downhill quick in society. I mean, I'm reading horrific stories, and I know that there's times people have mental problems and people, but I think that it's beyond that. Sometimes I think that society is being demonically oppressed. Things that are happening, you know, people have always had problems, and there's always been unstable people, but what in the world is happening in America? You know, when a mother can chop off the arms of their child and cut the child's arms off, I shake my head and think, what in the world is going on in America? When I read the story of people treating other people, folks, murder is just as commonplace as jaywalking used to be. Did you hear what I said? Murder is just as commonplace as jaywalking. What in the world has happened in society? Where did we get to the point? Now, you're not going to tell me that my great-grandmother didn't understand and my grandmother didn't understand that when they were carrying a baby and they put their hands on that womb and felt that baby move around and kick, they didn't understand that that was a living human being. Now, come on. What in the world has happened where we can somehow just wash ourselves and get to the point where we have become so selfish and so self-centered in society that we would rather kill an unborn baby than to be inconvenienced by a new life? I don't understand that. I'm just telling you, I don't understand that. I'm reading stories, horrific things that are happening in our inner cities. And, you know, it always used to be worse in inner cities. But what I'm finding out, folks, is because of the influence of MTV, because of the influence of the entertainment media and Hollywood, the horrific things that used to just be confined to the inner city now have found their way out into the rural area. What in the world is going on in America? What in the world is wrong with us where we would take destructive substances that we know is going to destroy our mind and our body, and yet just continually, at any cost, go and manufacture and make these things and inject these things or snort these things or smoke these things? What in the world is going on? I don't understand why people treat each other the way they do. Now, I kept thinking, Jerry, this is too harsh, and I kept trying to come up with a much more pleasant title. But I'm going to preach a simple message entitled this: Human beings are not animals. Human beings are not animals. Human beings are not animals. Now, young people, I need you to really listen to me. Because you know what? You're hearing a preacher, a man of God, who believes the Bible is God's word and believes 100% of what it says. You're going to come to church and hear a preacher open God's word and tell you humans are not animals. Then you're going to go to school on Monday and you're going to have a science teacher, a biology teacher, open a textbook and tell you that humans are animals, but it is not the truth. Listen, I don't think we really understand, folks, how damnable a heresy it is, this whole teaching of evolution. Now, you may come in here as a visitor. You may be looking like, Brother Jerry, I was taught that in school, and isn't there some scientific evidence and blah, 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 blah. You know, when somebody decides and just totally eliminates the idea that they are going to believe that there was a God, or they just totally turn their back upon the fact that they are going to believe there's a God, then they are forced to come up with some other explanation of what is around us. And let me tell you, let me just bring it all down to a nutshell. What is evolution? Evolution is the attempt by godless pagan men to try to explain everything around them because they've turned their back on God. They don't want to believe in God. They don't want to acknowledge God. So they have to come up with some other explanation, no matter how ridiculous it is. And folks, it's getting to the point even in our science community that scientists are having trouble defending. I mean, talking about scientists that have some kind of fairness to them, that have some kind of, I mean, they've got scientific evidence in front of them. They're having a hard time defending that which they've always propagated as being truthful. Now, I don't want to go into all of that this morning. I wish I could, and maybe I will one of these days, just educate us all and go through the Bible and show you the dangers of evolution. But maybe the greatest danger that's tied into the teaching of evolution is that we have raised a society. Back in the 1960s, we changed the system. We decided that we would get the Bible out of school and prayer out of school, and we would bring in pagan, worldly hypotheses and theories and teach them as fact. And our textbooks went through a transformation in the 60s. Because of that, folks, we had what was produced in the 60s and the 70s, which was a mess amongst our young people, a period of drugs and rebellion and all kinds of hideous things going on. They want to call it a sexual revolution. I think it was a sin revolution. All of a sudden, we began to act like animals. You know why? Because we were taught practically from the time we could walk that we were animals. You take a little five-year-old kid and put him in kindergarten and start at that age and teach him all the way up that all they are is the latest thing, the latest evolutionary product on a whole chain of events that we can trace ourselves all the way back to a piece of slime laying in some cesspool on a corner of the planet somewhere. And you know what? Nothing created us. There was nothing before life. There'll be nothing after life. And you keep teaching people those things, and you brainwash a society into believing that. You know what? They start pretty soon acting like animals. If you say, I am an animal, then I'll act like an animal. Well, I'm here to tell you something. Human beings are not animals. And we need to have some men of God just stand up and say, let's get back to the old book. You know, I don't care. They can laugh all they want to at intelligent design. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fan of teaching intelligent design. I'm just going to tell you that. I don't like going halfway anyway. We're trying to sneak in the back door. No, I don't want the privilege of hinting around that there might be some intelligent design. What we need in our classrooms is somebody to walk in there with a Bible and say, let me tell you something. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, the intelligent design is God Almighty, and He spoke the worlds into existence, and He did it in 6 days, six literal days, and the evening and the morning was the first day, not six time periods, not 6 billions of years, six actual days. Yes, we've got a God big enough and powerful enough to show up where there's nothing, and in 6 days have everything that you see around you, and many things that we can't see, and He's the creator of the universe. Now, I want to take a few minutes, because I hear this from some time to time. I think we've been so brainwashed in society about this idea, and really down deep, we almost act like animals or think like animals or think we are animals. I'm just here to tell you something, folks. We as human beings have something to live up to. You know, every once in a while we'll mess up, and I guess I've done it too, and we'll use the excuse. Maybe we'll get frustrated and we'll say, well, I'm only human. Let me tell you something. I don't think we ought to ever make that statement, I'm only human. Because if you're a human being, you are the crowning glory of God's creation. You are unique. You are separate. You are different. And by the way, God Almighty holds you and me as human beings to a different standard than He holds the rest of God's creation. And so let's just take a look. You say, Brother Jerry, we're not animals, you say. No, we're certainly not. We're different than the rest of God's creation. Because of that, we have something that we ought to live up to and be because of the special process that God went through in creating man. Now, let me just reread, if I will, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27. And you young people, listen to me. Let me tell you something. You're not the same as a dog. You're not the same as a cat. You're not the same as a cow. You're not the same. Listen, we shouldn't conduct ourselves like animals or live like animals or be like animals. We're not the same as them. And God created us different. We're different in the process of creation, in the pattern of creation, and we're different in the purpose of creation, all right? Number one, let's cover point number one. First of all, we're different in the process of our creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27, the Bible says that God created man. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, God created you, young people. You hear what I say? God created you. You are not a product of an evolutionary process. You are not the product of a big bang that happened billions and billions and billions of years ago. I always laugh when we take our kids on these field trips. And we'll take our young people to go down and visit some of the natural creations around here. And I remember when we took them down to Blue River Canyon Cavern? Am I saying it right? No. Blue Springs Cavern. And that's pretty neat. If you've never been down there, somewhere around Bedford, Blue Springs Cavern. And they'll take you down into this cave, this cavern. You'll walk down in there, and then they have an underground river. Literally, and you get in a boat and you go, it's like going through a cave, but you go through it on a boat. And one of the few like it in the state of Indiana. And we'll be taking this tour. And of course, they always have a tour guide there. And that's always a lot of fun. Matter of fact, I think we're planning on going there or did go there. I can't remember. Are we planning on going there? Or we just went there? I didn't go, but some of them did. And these tour guides, we'll put them in this boat and they'll take them through this cavern, and they'll start giving this evolutionary spiel, and they'll say, now billions and billions, millions and millions, see that little slag tied up there? That took 1 million years to make 4 inches of rock. Now, folks, that's laughable. That's ridiculous. That's proved to be a lie over and over and over again by anybody that just wants to look at the science of it. And so our kids, about the third time he says it in the boat, you'll hear our kids start saying, billions and billions of years ago. Billions of them. I went with them a lot this last time, but the time before that, I went with them and I was in the boat and this guy was trying to do this and our kids are back there saying billions of billions. Finally, he's looking at me and I said, I'm sorry. They're not trying to be, they are trying to be smart, Alex, actually. Matter of fact, they don't even have to try to be smart, Alex. They're just smart, Alex, naturally. But I said, listen, we're not trying to disrupt your thing. But by the way, we just decided we'd set this guy straight, you know. And I started saying, brother, let me tell you something. This cavern, this cave did not take billions and billions of years to accomplish. God spoke and the earth was created. This earth, folks, is just a little over 6,000 years old. Well, I don't know if we should say that out loud. People aren't going to think we're very smart. Let me tell you something. The smart people believe this book. The smart people believe this book. The Bible says that God said that by faith, we have to understand that the world's created by God. We have to understand that by faith. And it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. You just got to choose to believe what you're going to believe. But it takes more faith to believe the lie of evolution. There's less scientific proof that the lie of evolution is true than there is if you just open the Bible and realize that God could speak. The Grand Canyon started out as a little trickle and it took all of these millions. Well, what if God just said Grand Canyon and boom, it was there? Well, that stalactite took all the... What if God just said stalactite and boom, it was there? You see, man's got to look around because they don't want to believe God could just speak and create something. So they got to figure out how many billions of years. No, it took about 1 second. He said, stalactite, boom, there it went. You want to believe in a big bang spirit theory? There it is. Bang, it was there, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a scary society. Brother Jerry, why in the world did Columbine happen? I'm not surprised Columbine happened. I'm surprised Columbine don't happen more than it does. You bring a bunch of young people and get them away from godly parents, and we're trying to get them away earlier and earlier and earlier. You know, I don't even know anymore how much I'm for kindergarten. I mean, really. I mean, we got one, and I guess we'll keep it half day. I'm going to shorten it maybe to a half hour. I don't know, but Sister Penny say amen to that, you know. But I mean it. I mean, you know what? The whole system is trying to get children out of the home as fast as possible and get into them somewhere where they have an organized system to teach them a bunch of lies. And mama, you know what? All right, I'm just going to get on my hobby horse here. Your children need to be with you. They need to be with mama when they're growing up. Mama ought to be the one that teaches them how to walk, not a daycare worker. I mean, mama ought to be there. They need mama's love. They need that security of just maybe need to sit on mama's lap. When they're hurt, they need to cry tears again on mama's shoulder. They need the love of a mama. Amen. All right. I got to get off that. Some of you are starting to get steamed up a little bit. Sorry to bring up the fact that you were created to be a mom. Amen. All right, I want a career. Well, here's a good career. Mom. That's a good career. Amen. I'll tell you what. Well, we were better off back then. All right, here we go. Humans are not animals, folks. We get our kids into this educational system and we brainwash them and we tell them they're animals. Then we wonder when one of the boys that walked in Columbine with those guns and was shooting down his classmates had a t-shirt on that said natural selection. If you know anything about evolution, then what he was saying, I believe what was taught to me and I'm going to exercise natural. You know what natural selection is? It's the survival of the fittest. Okay, the strong survive, the weak don't. Well, that's what we've got. We've got a bully system in our public schools. I mean, the whole idea is try to raise children that are meaner and nastier and harder and more vicious than anybody else's kids so they can rule the roost all through the school system. That's just opposite of what the Bible teaches us we're supposed to be. All right, I'm trying to get to the sermon, all right? Young people, when God created the human race and created human beings, let me just review this real quickly. If you're in Genesis chapter 1 still, let me just have you look back at verse number 3. And there were 6 days of creation, and it all begins the same way. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 says, the first three words is, and God said. Verse number 6, and God said. Verse number 9, and God said. That's the third day. For fourth day, verse number 14, and God said. Verse number 20, and God said. The sixth day, verse number 24, and God said. And what God did was he spoke everything into existence. Now, us as human beings, I want you to go to chapter 2, verse number 7, because we are different in the process of the way we were created. In the process of creation, we differ from all of the other human race. God just spoke all of these other things into existence, but I want you to know that God does give us some details about the creation of the human race in chapter 2 and verse number 7. And God, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now when God made a pigeon, he just spoke and the pigeon was there. When God made a cow, he just spoke and the cow was there. When God made a dog, he just spoke and the dog was there. And he made them what they were. But when God made man, watch this, folks, the hands of God, the very fingers of God, reached down and took the dust of the ground. And with God's hands, man was formed. Remember that, because that's important. With the very hands of God, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then divine lips, God lips, reached down and he touched this man's lips and he breathed into man the breath of life. Now God didn't create a cow that way, and he didn't create a dog that way, didn't create a cat that way, didn't create a donkey that way, didn't create a horse that way. But listen, this was the crowning creation. This is his crowning creation. This is what all of the other was created for. Hey, wait a minute, it's time to create man. And God reaches down with God's fingers and forms man out of the dust of the earth. Then God's lips reach down and touch this man's lips, and he breathes in him the breath of life. And the life that was given by God to man came out of the very lungs, the very mouth of God Almighty. And he breathed into the man the breath of life. Watch this. And man became a living soul. And man is the only one of God's creation that has in them a never dying, eternal, living soul. Now, a dog doesn't have a living soul. And a cow doesn't have a living soul. And a cat doesn't have a living soul. All these other animals. I don't get this, folks. How in the world can we have a bunch of liberals? A bunch of liberals that'll sit there and protest unkindness to animals or people wearing fur. But you know what? They're against that. They want to protect animals, but they're for abortion. I don't get that. That just mystifies me. You know, come over and come. I mean, the noble thing to do is volunteer at the Humane Society. I'm not against the Humane Society, but I'm just saying, folks, we get more excited about taking care of animals than we do taking care of kids. I mean, the crowning glory, the only one of God's creation has a living soul, is a human being.
is a human being. God breathed into them the breath of life, and man became a living. Hey, you're not like the other, the animals. You're not like a dog. You're not supposed to conduct yourself. You know why? Because you weren't created like a dog was created. You say, well, Brother Jerry, now hold your place in Genesis. That's fine with Adam, but that's not how God makes us nowadays. Well, I beg to differ with you. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Now, I'm trying to help our young people, and I'm even trying to help some of us that have, listen, I didn't get to go to a Christian school until my last 2 years, and I think even any of us that spent some time in public schools, I think we'd be shocked how brainwashed we are in some areas, you see. I'm going to try to just remind us of some basic things. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4, let's read this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, watch this, because the Lord is going to speak to Jeremiah. Now watch this. This isn't Adam, this isn't Eve. Okay, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I, this is God saying this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, I don't know if you understand how powerful of a verse that is and all that it teaches us. But let me tell you, the same hands of God that reached down in the Garden of Eden and took the dust of the ground and formed Adam. By the way, he formed Adam and made him exactly the way he wanted him to look and the way he wanted him to be and gave him the gifts and talents that he wanted him to have. He created Adam for a specific job and a specific purpose. Adam wasn't an accident. God created him and created him to do what God wanted him to do with his life and equipped him to do what God wanted him to do with his life. Those same hands of God are busy in the womb of every single woman that's with child. And you know what? God is doing the same thing. Before I formed thee in the belly. You know, the hands of God is forming every single child in the womb. And creating them to be exactly what he wants them to be. I love this. He said, listen, I formed thee in the belly. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, before you were born. You hear that? You abortion crowd. Before they were born. While they were still a fetus.
Amen.
Which is ridiculous. Fetus. It's amazing what the little terms we come up with to try to make us feel better about what we're doing. It's not a fetus, it's a child. It's a creation of God. And God said, listen, I was in the process, and before you were ever born, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. You know what he said? He said, listen, I let you have life, I gave you that spark of life. I formed you, and I'm forming you to accomplish something in this world and to be something in this world. And God does that not just with Jeremiah. God has done that with every single person that has ever been allowed to be conceived and born. God, listen, there's no accidents. There's no uh-ohs. God didn't ever look down and see a little kid and say, where'd they come from? Oh, no, now I got to figure out something to do with them. No, if there is a child here and God's allowed that spark of life, then God has a purpose for that child and a place for that child and something for that child to accomplish. But you know what? 1.5 million of them this past year, the last 12 months, will never get a chance to realize that. You know why? Because a assassin under the guise of a doctor's title has went in and killed off that child, and God was forming that child with his hands. And you know what? That little child was ripped right out of the hands of God. And God had a purpose for them. He was creating them to be something and do something and accomplish something. Hey, wait a minute. How many of you have a friend or a family member touched by cancer? How many of you have that? Let me ask you something. I wonder if one of those babies 20 years ago that we said it was okay to kill, God's purpose in their life was to grow up and find the cure for cancer. I'm going to tell you something. We're foolish when we start messing around with what God's trying to do. We've crossed some basic lines here. By the way, I'm not trying to hurt anybody here. I never know in a congregation this size. Listen to me, I don't know what your past is and what's in your past. I'll tell you this, God's a forgiving God and God's a loving God and God is there to help you and heal you. But somebody's got to stand up and say, good night, what are we being suckered into believing here? And I think most ladies that end up following this path do so on the grounds of some bad advice and some ungodly influence and somebody that talks them into doing something that then later on they regret the rest of their lives. I'm not trying to make you feel it. I'm just trying to tell our young people, listen to me. We need to re-look at this thing. We need to stop believing all the lies of the devil out there. We need to get into the Word of God and realize that every child is precious. Every child's on purpose. Every child is being in the process of being created for something that God wants them to accomplish one of these days. Now, if you're a human being, you got a lot to live up to. You got a human being, you're not an animal. Stop saying, well, it don't matter. You know, everybody lives. No, everybody doesn't live that way. And there's some laws that go along with being created a human. There's some responsibilities that go along with being a human being. And there's something to live up to. We were different in the process of our creation. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to move on quickly. If you are a human being, you have something that no other part of God's creation have. You have a living soul. Now, get this. You have a living soul inside of you, and that soul will never die. That soul will live somewhere for all eternity. Now, don't go get upset with me. I know some of you are animal lovers, and I like animals too. I told them in Sunday school, one of my morning rituals, going through the feeding process at the Ross Ranch, I've got two overweight black Labradors. I've got anywhere from 1 to 3 cats, depending on what day it is. I've got 4 cows. I go through the process of taking care of them, and I go out there and talk to them and scratch their heads and all this other stuff. But and don't get mad at me. But you know what? Not a one of them have a living soul. Not a one of them have a living soul. We bought the 3 cows we originally had, and we started the big ranch, and we bought the 3 original calves. I made a mistake. Our girls were pretty small at that time, so what they did was they were all excited because we got cows. They decided they'd make them pets, so they named them all. And every one of the girls decided one of them was theirs, and they named them. And I really didn't look down the road to see where this was going to be a problem later on, but, we were raising them for a purpose. We raised them for a purpose. Don't look at me like that. You ate at McDonald's this week. Just because you didn't know the name of that cow don't mean you're guilty. I mean, you're guilty too. And so I don't know, one of them was Tippy and one of them was Midnight and one of them was something else. And so then came time where we needed to take one to market. So, I think it was it, which one was it? Tabitha's? Tabitha's calf. It wasn't Tabitha's, mine, but she claimed it, named it. And next thing I know, and so she's a little girl and we take it there and all of a sudden she notices it's gone. And she said, where did it go? And I said, go ask your mother. And go ask mom. Mom needs to explain some things to you, okay? And that's the best answer, gentlemen. Just use that often. Go ask your mother. And so all of a sudden, then the processing plant calls and hey, your meat's ready. So we bring it there, and I'm like, Cheryl, just don't say anything. Maybe we can just don't say anything. So we wait till they're gone, and we unload the meat in the so she cooks the first one, and Tabitha's sitting there, and we're getting ready to eat, and we join hands and pray, and then one of the girls, I'm Amanda or Hannah one, just looks up in the middle of all this and says, "Hey, Dad, is this Tippy?" Oh man. Oh, man. All of a sudden, Tabitha's eyes got about that big around. They start filling with tears. She pushed her plate away. I couldn't get her to eat. That's why she's so skinny. I can't even be able to get her eat meat ever since then, And listen, now you say, do you name them now? We do. We name them Hamburger, T-Bone, and Rump Roast. We just might as well name them what they're going to be eventually, So. Now listen, no, don't call me and ask me to, can I do a funeral for Fido? I'm not going to do a funeral for Fido. I'm glad you love your pets. I really do. I don't have a problem with people that love animals. I do have a problem with somebody that'll fuss and provide and buy and toy and say that and love an animal and won't go across the street and share the gospel with a human being who has a living soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere. I have a little trouble with a Christian who cries when a dog dies. I don't care if you cry when your dog dies, but I do have a little trouble with that. But you know what? You're not moved to tears when you look around and you see people dying and going to hell. I have a problem with that. You see, we've got a society that for some reasons has glorified animals and has demeaned the value of a human soul. Of a human soul, you see. Well, we're different in the process that we were created. Number two, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Young people, you're not only different in the process that God used to create you, you're different in the pattern that He used in creation. Now, this is very important. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Did you get that? "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." I'm going to explain that. Verse number 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Now, this is very interesting. You see, God is a triune God. It's very important that you understand this. The doctrine of the Trinity, I'll be honest with you, it's a little hard to grasp. It's simple, but it's complex. There is one God, the Bible teaches us. There is one God. But He chooses to manifest Himself to us in three distinct personalities or parts. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's undeniable. It's a truth that's all through the Bible. If you ever end up in a church that wants to preach against the Trinity or tell you that there's not a Trinity, you ought to get out of that church. You're in the wrong church. I mean, how in the world can you go to the baptism of Jesus Christ and Jesus is being baptized and the Holy Spirit descends from heaven like a dove and lights upon Him and the voice of God the Father says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How can you read that story and not realize that God is three in one and one in three? There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you see. So God is talking to Himself here, if you will. The Trinity is discussing and planning the creation of man. That's why it says in verse 26, "And God said, let us," plural, "make man in our image." You know what? God is three parts. He created us in His image, the three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. You see, we are made. Are you getting this? We are made in the image of Almighty God. You're not an animal. God didn't say, "Let's make the dog. Wait a minute. Let's create dogs in our image." He never said that. You know, and so we're supposed to be different than a dog. Dog doesn't have a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Right.
Only man is made in the image of Almighty God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenge to me. Oh, well, we're only human. I don't know why, Brother Jerry, I don't know why the preachers, I don't know why the church expects so much of us. They want us to live right, live holy, and not do certain things. Good night, we're only human. You're not only human. It's a privilege to be human. You were created in the image of Almighty God. Young people, you're not supposed to live like an animal. You're not supposed to conduct yourself like an animal. There's rights, and there's wrongs, and there's thou shalt, and there's thou shalt not. And you know what? We ought to live up to the image that we were created in. Amen. I know I'm not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be perfect, but I think too long we've been using that as an excuse just to go out and do anything in the world we want to do, and then just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, "Oh, well, I'm made in the image of God. I'm the crowning glory of God's creation." God had a discussion with the triune God, decided to make something that would be in the image of Him. You know why? Because He wanted something that somebody he could fellowship with. He wanted somebody that was a mere reflection of Him. Somebody that He could come down, as it says in Genesis chapter 2, in the cool of the evening and walk with and talk and laugh with and discuss with. Me and you were created for the purpose of fellowshipping with Almighty God. And so we sinned, didn't we? In Genesis chapter 2, we sinned. Because of that, we died spiritually. And that part of us that could commune with God needed to be reborn. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. That's what salvation's all about. That's what Calvary's all about. That's what Jesus coming and dying on the cross is all about. You know what? We were a triune creature. There's a part of us that died. And He said, "Listen, in the day that thou eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die." And you know what? When Adam and Eve ate of that tree, physically they didn't die. And their soul didn't die because the soul is eternal, everlasting. It'll live forever somewhere. But they died spiritually. And you must be born again. Being saved is really the rebirth of the spirit of man in man. So once again, we can commune and have fellowship with God and be back to what He wanted us to be when He originally created us. Wow, that's technical. Wow, that's deep. Yeah, and that's not the way it is with Fido or Scruffy or Tippy or whatever else. You're different. Young ladies, listen to me. Don't you grow up and conduct yourself like some barnyard animal.
That's right.
Young man, let me tell you something. You ought to have decency and morals and discipline and restraint. You ought to take care of this body that God created. Sin puts stuff in it, it's going to destroy it. You know why? Because it's the temple of Almighty God. That's why. Because this thing is created in the image of God. This is the crowning glory of God's creation.
Right.
So you don't drink certain things, you smoke certain things, yeah, you do certain things. Right. Listen, you live moral, you live clean, and you're decent.
Yeah, that's right.
You see. And you know why we're supposed to be that way? I'll tell you why. Because one time 6,000 years ago, when God was in the midst of His creation, He built up to His crowning glory, and He said, "I'm going to make the human race." And then He made them in His image, and He made them to fellowship with. And by the way, when they went into sin, He sent one third of Himself, a part of that Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to go down and die to reclaim that which He created. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, let me tell you something. You are incomplete. You know you're incomplete. There's a part of you, there's a big black hole, there's something missing. You can't figure out what it is. You know what it is? It's that part that died back in the Garden of Eden. It's that part that Jesus came to die for and to rebirth. And listen, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit enters into you and rebirths that spirit. And all of a sudden, you have communication with God again. You're back to what God originally created and wanted you to be. You can fellowship with God and walk with God and read His Word and actually understand it. And you know what? Things that didn't make sense before starts making sense. Things that you didn't understand begin making sense to you. You start looking at people different and thinking different. You know why? Because you're back to being the crowning glory of God's creation, you see. Different in the pattern of creation. And the last thing, let me give you this. They're different also. We are different in the purpose of creation. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So man created, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. Then we jump over and it says verse number 28, and God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I love that. It says you're supposed to have dominion. Let me tell you something. You're supposed to be the top dog. You're supposed to be here and everything else is supposed to be here. And yet we've got a society that said, you know what? Let's go down here and live like these other created animals. And let's have the same morals of these animals, the same outlook of these animals. Let's convince ourselves that we're just another one of these animals, that there isn't a God in heaven. There isn't anything after death. There wasn't anything before life. And you know what? We can do whatever we want to. We're never going to have to stand before God and answer for it. We're never going to stand in judgment and fear of hell and fire and brimstone and all that other mean stuff in the Bible. Let's just live our lives as if there's nothing after this life. I'll do what I want, say what I want, be like I want to be, and I won't be held accountable in the afterlife. You know what? That is a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. And you can go through your whole life trying to talk yourself into the fact that you believe that, but I believe with my heart that down deep in every single human being, there is something that God put in us that hungers for God and that knows there's a God. No matter how many books we read or how many lies we listen to and how many times we even try to talk ourselves into believing it, there's still that time when you're walking out at night and you look up at those stars and there's something that says to you, you know what? Those things just didn't happen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. His fingerprints are on everything. You walk out in the fall and you see those beautiful leaves turn, and listen, you can say that, I don't believe in God and I believe in evolution, but you know, there's some little voice inside of you that said, wait a minute, how could something that beautiful happen by accident? You get into your class and you begin to study the intricacies of the human eye. And you think to yourself, listen, there'd be a billion upon billions upon billions upon billions of billions. It had to be a billions upon billions of a chance that evolution could even make just the human eye, let alone a whole body function correct. Give me a break. How can you see a newborn baby like I enjoyed seeing in the hospital the other day and not look and say, man, you know, the first words out of me and Jeff's mouth, we're sitting there. And Jeff, you know, daddies get all emotional too, you know. Man, he kept saying, Brother Jerry, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? I said, yeah, she is. They got a wet rag and they're wiping her down and she's screaming and carrying on. Well, if they just leave her alone, she'd be fine, you know. And I said, yes, how in the world? How in the world can you go over to regional hospital and go up to the natal care unit and go in there and look in that window and see those little babies and say, there is no God? Give me a break. You know what? There is a God. And that God loves you. And you're not an accident. And God created you. And you know what? You were born a sinner just like me. And you were born incomplete just like I was. And you know what? I must be born again if I'm going to have fellowship with God and it be like it was before Adam fell into sin and sin passed upon all of. By the way, don't be too hard on Adam. Me and you'd have done the same thing. Me and you would have done the same exact thing. Don't be too hard on Adam. And you know what? We're all sinners and we all do wrong. But you know what? There's a Savior and He can save us. And all of a sudden, this Spirit can be reborn in us. Fellowship can be restored with God. All of a sudden, our destination changes because we're on our way to heaven, where before we were on our way to hell, pay for our own sins. Let me tell you something. Hey, young people, listen to me. Next time you get up and you walk around, you carry yourself properly. Throw your shoulders back a little. I'll tell you something, you're not an animal. You're the crowning glory of God's creation. You're not an accident.
God planned you and formed you and prepared you to do something wonderful. Don't throw that away. Don't do something stupid or ungodly. Don't choose the wrong path. Because God's got something He wants you to accomplish with your life. He's put you here for a reason. And so you know what? You just get saved as soon as you understand how to get saved. And then you give your life to living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you turn yourself over to God and you walk with Him. Just like Adam and Eve walked in the garden, you walk with God every day. You pray to God. You stay in your Bible. You stay in church. You say, God, I'm not here by accident. You created me to do something and be something. And I'm going to find out what that is and accomplish that with my life. And you just take the, listen, you got to go to class, you got to go to class. You got to go to school, you got to go to school. But when you sit there and you listen to some teacher up there telling you that you're an accident, a freak of nature, that you're the result of a series of mutations, which is amazing. Mutation doesn't increase the quality of a form of life. It decreases the quality of a form of life. When's the last time you've seen a mutation, somebody born mutated and said, oh good, we're going to raise a level. You know, it's so idiotic. And somebody up there with a straight face trying to teach you that you're the result of a series of mutations. You just sit back there and think to yourself, whatever. Liar. Amen. Reach in your book bag, pull out Genesis chapter 1 and lay it on top of your biology book. And say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Guess what? Right there, you're smarter than that guy. I mean, here you are in the 8th grade, 7th grade, and you're smarter than that guy that went through 10 years of college training so he could be your teacher. You got more smarts just because you say, you know what, I'm going to believe the Bible. They can tout out all the supposed evidence they want to do. They can say all these things. They can talk about carbon dating, all this other stuff. Folks, listen to me. All this is a bunch of people that refuse to acknowledge that creation is a possibility. Therefore, we have to come up with a bunch of reasons why there is no God. But folks, there is a God. And you and I are going to meet Him one of these days. And after this life is over, what we do and didn't do with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to determine our eternal destiny. And how we lived our life after we saved, we're going to answer to God for that. And so you know what? Live up to what you are. Live up to what you are. Good night. God reached down and formed you with His own fingers. He gave you the spark of life and the breath of life. He created you in His image. He gave you a purpose that's greater than the animals. You're not supposed to be down here with Him. You're supposed to have dominion over Him. He's created you to be something, do something. Go find out what that is and do it. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that You bless the message, Lord, and You stir our hearts in this matter, God, of just living up to what You created us to be. There's someone here, Lord, that's still incomplete. They're unsaved. Because of that, Lord, they haven't been reborn into Your family. They haven't had that spirit regenerated by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's very simple. You've made it simple for us. We have to understand that we're sinners. We have to acknowledge that, confess that, embrace that, not make excuses for that. We have to just understand we're lost. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Then we have to understand the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, of course, that is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. When He died on Calvary, He died for the sins of Jerry Ross and the sins of everybody in this room. And then the Bible says that if we'll confess our sins and repent, turn to Christ, and accept Him as our personal Savior, we can be reborn in the family of God. All of a sudden, everything's different. Everything's changed. Everything's new. Because all of a sudden, we are back to being what You created. Oh, we're still touched and tainted by this whole sinfulness, Lord, but we can at least communicate with God. We can understand Your Word. We can understand there's a purpose. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and helps us live day by day. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in here that isn't saved, that they'd be saved. Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a minute. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I never will walk down. I'm not going to walk down today and embarrass you. I won't call you by name. I won't point you out. We just don't do that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I do want to pray for you because I love you and I'm concerned about you. I mean that with all my heart. Thank God when I was a young person, there was a preacher that loved me enough to preach the truth and help me to come to Jesus Christ. And boy, I had to be saved like everybody has to be saved. Hey, Brother Jerry, I'm here today and the honest truth is if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I can't look back at a time in my life where I know that I know that I know for sure that I was born again. Maybe you don't even have a real clear understanding of what all that means. Let me just share this with you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. God loves you. How much does He love me? He loves you enough to send Jesus to die on an old rugged cross. Then Jesus took your sins and paid for them on that cross, was buried and rose again. All you have to do is come forward today And we'll have somebody take the Bible and share the gospel with you. And you call out, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call out to Christ in a simple word of prayer, in the privacy of an altar here. And let me tell you something, you can be saved. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, don't put it off. Get saved this morning and listen to me. Christian, listen to me. Let's live up to what we're supposed to be. It's something wonderful to be a human. It's something wonderful to be a born-again human being. And we've got a standard we need to live towards and live up to and bring glory upon our Creator and not shame upon His name. Lord, bless this invitation. Please, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.